All right, everyone, as you know, ChooseFI has been marketed, and I use that term very intentionally here, marketed to you for a long time as a crowdsourced personal finance show, one that draws not only from my experience and Brad's experience, but that of the experience from the entire financial independence community. And starting around maybe even as far as 18 months ago, I think it was the first time that Brad came to us as a team and said, guys, I want to double down on the case studies. Like, that's what lights me up the most. It's great to talk to people that have reached financial independence, but where I feel like as a listener, as someone that identifies with the struggle of reaching financial independence, I personally get more value from the process, the implementation, the small actions that lead to amazing results. And to be honest with you, you said, sounds great, dude. I don't know how it's going to work. Let's put that on the shelf of great ideas for later.
Or never.
So with that, we're going to be rolling out the Households of FI. This is Delivery. Welcome to the Ultimate Crowdsource Personal Finance Show. This is Choose FI.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
Everyone, Households of FI. So Brad, I clearly did a setup on the front end of the bumper. What does this case study series, what does this mean for you? What is this going to be?
Yeah, I think this is the next kind of inflection point of what we're doing here at Choose FI. And I remember bringing that idea to you, yeah, like you said, probably 18 months ago, and you just shooting daggers at me with your eyes. You had clearly had your producer's hat on and you're like, you are making my life miserable right now. We can't do this. We did a case study with Paul way back in the day, and it was fantastic, but I think it nearly killed you, honestly, to coordinate everything. But now we have this team of people who help us, and it doesn't just have to be Jonathan doing all the work, since, you know, obviously I'm not doing the behind the scenes work.
Brad just brought the idea and said, all right, figure out how to do this. This would be great.
mic drop of all mic drops. But no, in all seriousness, the world runs on stories, right? This is something we've realized for a very long time here. And people connect to stories. And what we've done for the first 3.5 years of Choose FI is we've brought stories from a wide range of people, and I think we've done a wonderful job with that. But in all honesty, it's the story looking back, right? Hey, we've made it, and now I'm trying to recount how I did it. And maybe there's some confirmation bias. Maybe there's, you know, who knows what it is, but you don't know if you're getting the full story. And you also, I mean, even for me, it's hard to remember what this was like. What did it feel like? Those first days, weeks, and months of finding FI and then taking this journey. So what we decided to do here is have, as you said, the FI households. We, after a very long process, MK and our whole team did a remarkable job of finding 8 different households. And we're using that term very loosely. We certainly don't want to use families. Household was a good way to term this.
Well, I don't know if we don't want to use families. I don't have a problem with using the term family. It's just not accurate, right? There's people from various stages of life and walks of life, and some people are doing this as a pair, and there's individuals that are doing this solo. Households felt more representative.
Yes, I like it. So yeah, basically what we're doing here today is we're going to introduce the first 4 of the 8 FI households that we've picked to really, I mean, Jonathan, this could be, as I see it, and I hope your blood pressure is not going to go through the roof here, but I see this as kind of like a longitudinal FI study, right? Like, we can follow these households for years to come, and they are right at the beginning. That was one of the requirements of us picking these people, is ultimately, like, they just found FI. They found FI this calendar year in 2020 or thereabouts, and they are just getting started. Imagine what it'll be like for us to really give them information. We're going to have subject matter experts, or as MK likes to call them, SMEs.
Can't not smile when I hear the term SME. Is that a thing?
Yes. We've been using the term SME behind the scenes, and we're like, what on earth are you talking about, MK? Anyway, you know, Jonathan, you and I are going to help people. We're going to bring in subject matter experts, and we're going to really hope that these people, they take action, right? That is what it's all about.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So I guess we're going to go and hop right into the four that we're going to roll out this week, and then we'll do another four, I believe, next week. But before I do that, I think we should actually add some context. We kind of, even though you're right, back in the day, episodes like 21 through 25, we piloted our first case study, I mean, almost 3 years ago now. Within the last month or so, we actually got to do a dry run, a test run of what it would be to work through someone's case kind of live on the show, and, you know, people with different struggles and obstacles. And already I can confirm, Brad, the feedback on that has been phenomenal. It's like, our audience has been with us on this journey for 3 years, and they're like, we're ready to dive into somebody that's just getting started. Like, let's figure out what it looks to put the knowledge that we learn and implement it into a practical case study.
Yeah, I love it.
And we're going to go and hop into these and do these four case studies. But I just wanted to point out that this is participatory. Wow. I don't know why I tried that word. I could have gone for an easier synonym. Grammarly, where are you right now?
There's so many words that are hard to pronounce when you're doing
this. I think I got most of the syllables. I was 87% there.
participatory.
But what I was going to say is this is interactive. Your experience, like you're as a listener, you're listening to this. There's eight representatives here, people that are walking through lives with different careers, different paths, different struggles. You, as someone that's been on the path to financial independence, maybe just a year or two ahead of them, and you figured something out that you can speak to in a way that we simply can't. And there's two ways that I want you to get involved. One, just send us your feedback. We'll use that as feedback on the show. If this is longitudinal, if this is something we're coming back to, we'll incorporate your feedback. Two, we can connect you with these individuals if you want to act as a mentor, if you have some direct experience and something that they're struggling with. And three, you can send in a voicemail, choosefi.com/voicemail, if you want to have your voice on the show to answer a specific question that you hear. And four, the live events, which Brad and Jennifer are doing weekly right now. These are like happy hours, but these are a way to talk through some of these scenarios. So if you feel like there is another perspective that could be added, highly encourage you just to add your voice to the conversation, because the community benefits. We all benefit when this information becomes easier to access and it's woven into a story that we can appreciate and grab hold of and share. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and kick off this first FI household. Brad, tell us a little bit more about Troy and Lindsay.
All right. So yeah, the two-line overview here is they are married with one child, and her parents actually live next door. So in the initial contact, they said they liken themselves to Everybody Loves Raymond. If you remember that show, they had the mother-in-law, Marie, living right across the street, I believe. And I guess here, he is a contractor, and she is a teacher. So that's really kind of the high-level background. And we have a voicemail here from them introducing themselves.
Hey, Choose FI. This is Lindsay, and I'm a high school history teacher.
And I'm Troy, and I'm a former police officer who transitioned to an IT developer. And we live in Chesapeake, Virginia. Over the past 3 years, we've paid off about $88,000 in debt. And now we're at a point where we've paid off all our debt, and we're not really sure what to do next. While we were paying off our debt, it was really easy to increase our savings rate by cutting out a lot of unnecessary expenses. We cut out a lot of unneeded subscriptions and cut out our cable.
And we also cut out a lot of going out to eat on the weekends and also going out for lunches during the week. So we are trying to figure out now what we can do to continue to slim our budget while increasing our savings rate.
We're just really trying to figure out what to do with the money that we are saving at this point. Where should it be going? How can we make it work for us? How can we set ourselves up for the future? Another thing that we really need to figure out is, you know, what our FI number is. They talk a lot about it on a lot of podcasts and in a lot of blogs about your FI number, but it seems to kind of be just a very simple calculator they use, but there's a lot of other things that we feel are in our lives that are not so simple. For instance, you know, we still have a mortgage and that goes into our monthly cost, but that's not going to be there forever. You know, another thing is that Lindsay,
I also have a pension, and how does that factor in as well? One thing that I was also thinking about too is that I am an educator and I'm interested in learning more about homeschooling. And so that is also an incentive for me in looking towards the future in the next 5 to 6 years as to what we could do in homeschooling our one-year-old son.
So I'm really the nerd about finances. So I'm the one who dives deep into everything and all the investing. And Lindsay is mainly focused on a couple key points to our budget.
Right. So I really took hold of the food budget and the grocery budget, and I have shopped at the discount grocery stores, which I love. And that has really had a huge impact on our grocery budget each month. I've also prepared, and I do a lot of meal prepping too. So I prepare a lot of meals for lunch and dinner that are easy and really delicious. And so I think that's really had a huge impact as to what we do.
The bottom line is that we both enjoy our jobs and we don't see ourselves leaving anytime soon, but it'd be nice to be financially independent and not have to go to work. And that's really what we are hoping to do.
Yeah, we're really excited to document our journey. And I think this also keeps us really accountable as well. And I look forward to the future.
All right. First of all, Brad, Detroit, and Lindsay, like, congratulations. Paying off debt is such a major inflection point on one's path to financial independence.
Yeah, that's incredible. $88,000 in debt. But to their point, they're not sure what to do next. Right. And it sounds like they've done a lot of amazing things. They've cut expenses. They've stopped going out to eat. And what I found interesting was, you know, Lindsay basically saying, we're looking for what can we cut next? And I think this is something we've talked about so many times on the podcast. Like, at some point, cutting, while it might add value to the bottom line, it doesn't add value to your life. And I hope and I expect that, you know, we will challenge them to really look for spending that they do that adds value. And I think it's a really critical just way to look at your finances and look at your life, frankly. It's not about continually cutting to get to FI quicker. It's about maybe, and we've seen people, some of our guests do this previously, like Brandon, the mad scientist, was a perfect example of cutting so far that you almost realize you went over the edge. And then adding things back that you do value. So, I mean, I suspect based on the very limited amount that I heard here, that that's going to be a conversation we have with them.
Yeah. I mean, they gave it, there's a lot of opportunities here. This is going to be a continued conversation. I know we're based on a few things that they have told us offline and that were included in this voicemail. We're going to be pairing them with subject matter experts that can address those specifically. But I agree with you. It's going to be, at what point do I stop worrying about spending less? Like with almost no exceptions, I think you start by focusing on spending less. When you're going from not paying attention to paying attention, your first step is know how much your life costs, look for inefficiencies, focus on spending on what you value, and anything you don't value, cut ruthlessly. And then at some point, that's the 80-20. You already did that. And if you spend all of your time there, just, all right, well, how can next year, can we cut another 10%, another 5%? Like, maybe the return is less than it was and you can still do it, but you shouldn't do it at the cost of all your relationships. Troy and Lindsay certainly are not saying that right now. What I hear is they're open-minded. They want to know, how do we get to financial independence? What's the path best to get there? How do we calculate our FI number? I feel like it's overly simplistic and it doesn't account for some variables that we have in our life. And we're going to tackle their numbers. Clearly, we don't have the expenses. We don't have the income to be able to give them a great number today. But in general, let's just talk about the simplicity of your FI number. It is a simple calculation, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be the end all be all. It doesn't need to account for the variance of the stock market over a period of 20 years. It's a target. It's a rough number. Without that number, who knows what your target is, right? You need to have a sense for where your destination is, and things are going to change. Your plans are going to get punched in the face. You're going to make more than you thought you would make. You're going to have more expenses than you thought you would have. But it's directionally accurate and gives us something to shoot for. So because something's simple doesn't mean that it's wrong. In fact, usually the best things in life are the most simple. And when things seem too complex, it's probably against your best interest. So just something that I keep in mind. Simple's not a bad thing. Anyways, I think that's exciting. This gets me excited for continuing this conversation. Let's go ahead and kick off the next voicemail. But before we do that, a quick word from our sponsor. And this one is from Matthew and Megan. Now, this is really interesting. Now, he is British military, Royal Navy, and she is in the U.S. Navy. Talk about an interesting pairing. They've been married for a year, and they have a goal to see each other at least 4 times this year, married, no kids. So we have a couple that is separated, geographically separated, this common goal of reaching financial independence. Here's their voicemail.
Hi, guys.
We are Matthew and Megan Johnson. We are a dual military married couple currently living long distance. I am located in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
And I'm in the southwest of the United Kingdom.
As of right now, we are both serving in our nation's navies. I am a human resources officer in the United States Navy.
And I'm a helicopter pilot in the Royal Navy.
We currently are starting from a place with about a net worth of $200K between our taxable brokerage account, our TSP, which is like the military's version of a 401k, and cash on hand.
Yeah, we have a little bit more in equity. We don't have any debt between us. Our mortgage is on a British house where I live. It's about $220K on that as well.
We are starting with the idea that we'll be able to fly with a military pension. I've been in the U.S. Navy for about 15 years now, so I've got another 5 to go before I'll be eligible for a retirement with a full military pension.
Yeah, it works a little bit different in the U.K. I've been in 11 years. We have our own version of pensions. But our high-level goals for later down the line are we'd really like to fly by the time that we're 40 and just rely mainly on our military pension at that stage.
Yeah, the goal is to live off of the income from our military pension, allowing the net worth that we have in our taxable accounts to grow and only dipping into a Roth ladder if we needed to. But hopefully the pension will be enough to allow us to live as we want to, because we try to live pretty simply. We want to get our expenses down low enough that our savings rate is high enough that we can just live off of that amount.
Yeah, we focus on that. All the rest of the savings are kind of automatic. So that's the saving on day-to-day expenses is something that we can really work with and try to improve. We are at the moment doing some sort of geo-arbitrage within the USA, but with our future goal of living in a different country, we'd like to see what we can do with international geo-arbitrage and how that works with our taxable brokerages in the future. That's going to allow us to hopefully slow travel the world and see a little bit.
Yeah, so we really, both of us being military, it makes it kind of hard to have a lot of the free time to really focus on being able to pick up and travel and have that spontaneity. So we really want that time to just focus on our hobbies, our interests, to possibly start a family, pick up odd jobs in random countries, stay there for a couple months if we want to, move on if we don't, and just kind of go wherever the wind takes us.
That's right. But first things first, we'd really like to actually be co-located with each other in the United States. So we'll get there first and we'll see what comes later on.
Yeah, that's goal number one, definitely.
Well, that's us, and hope to speak to you some more soon.
Awesome. Now, I know for a fact, so this, as our audience just heard, this has a significant geo-arbitrage piece to it and the tax implications that come with that, plus a mortgage overseas in a different country and income coming from two various countries. It sounds like our subject matter expert would need to be an accountant familiar with international tax law. I believe we have already paired them with David McKeegan, and we have the product of that first conversation. And MK, I'll let you chime in just for a second. I know you said you were captivated by the results of this conversation.
Yes. So they had an hour-long conversation, and it was just boom, boom, boom. Here's one thing you could be doing. And it was great. It was like being a fly on the wall of their tax consult, which I think anybody not in the FI community would be like, that sounds like a barrel of laughs. It was so great. And David McKeegan did a really great job breaking down, well, here's this code, here's why you need to do this. So for your example, this is how it applies to you. So I think it was helpful for me, being the fly on the wall listening to it, to say, oh, well, you know, if Jason and I wanted to live abroad for a few years, these are the things we would have to keep in mind. So really helpful. And then, you know, eventually they just talked about the fun stuff too, of like living in Costa Rica and some of those fun things. So there was a good mix. I think our Choose FI expat Facebook group is going to be all over this. They're going to love everything about that conversation because it all applies to them. So I think that's going to be great.
Yeah, that is super cool. I think we actually have, I know it's over 5,000 people. It might be over 6,000 people in that expat group. My brother Scott is one of the admins of it. And yeah, it's an incredibly just active and vibrant community. So yeah, it's cool. David was our guest in episode 217, and he's a true expert. And like you said, obviously it's valuable for people who are already expats, but so many people like you and Jason and many people in the FI community are contemplating some type of slow travel or geo arbitrage down the road. So I think this is going to be really, really valuable for a lot of people. And there's so many questions that just jump out for me in Matthew and Megan's story, like that house they have in Britain. You know, I'm curious to hear what the long-term plans are for that, right? I mean, it sounds as if their long-term goal is not to live at that house in Britain. So that's something that jumps out. That's one of the first questions I want to ask them. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I'd like to learn more about his military pension as well. He said it operates a little bit differently in the UK. So those two things jump out to me. I mean, Jonathan, this is a cool story.
Yeah, no, that's the second household that have talked about the overlap of the pension with their FI plans. And that actually brings to mind one, just a quick plug here, Grumpus, friend of the show, has a book coming out in July really talking about how to evaluate your pension. Is it worth it? You can find more information on that book at choosefi.com/pension. But two, let me just speak to this real quickly. For both these individuals, just to answer it for our audience, how do I calculate my FI number with a pension? At a macro level, keeping it very simple, take your annual expenses, subtract from that what you expect to have covered by your pension, take that remaining amount, whatever that is. So if your life cost, just for super simple math, if your life cost $100,000 a year and your pension is going to cover $60,000 a year, that leaves you with a balance of $40,000 a year. Take that $40,000, multiply it times 25. That would tell you your FI number would be $1 million to cover your expenses with your pension in mind. So again, adjust the numbers to what you need. The other thing I just want to point out that they mentioned there, and it's why I think our audience, this is great. All the episodes we put together, now we're hearing how someone interpreted them and we can circle back. She mentioned in there how a Roth conversion ladder was part of their plans. Having a pension screws that up. It's going to screw that up. So just as I heard that, this is going to be valuable. We'll talk about it more. We've talked about the Roth conversion ladder, but the entire premise of the ladder is that you have some years with no income and the pension is going to produce income even after you leave your job. So that plan's probably going to get nixed, but it's okay. Having a pension that you can rely on, especially a great one, is amazing. So this is a glasses way more than half full on this one. All right, next we're going to hear from Vivian. Now, Vivian is a high income earner, single mom with a daughter, facing several big challenges, both financially and personally, but still aiming for financial independence. Here is her voicemail.
Hi, my name is Vivian Nim. I'm a pharmacist from Port Neches, Texas. I am a mom of a one-year-old daughter. At the beginning of Choose FI documentary, I started with a student loan debt, but I got that payoff. I started out with a partner who helped me pay for half of all my expenses, but I don't have that anymore, since we are splitting up and fighting for our child custody. I also start out with hair, but now I don't have any because I'm battling breast cancer. So from here on, I'm starting out as a cancer single mom with a toddler and no debt except the mortgage. My expenses are sort of unknown right now because of the custody battle. I have to hire a lawyer and I'm not sure how much that will cost me at the end, but I'm aiming for an expenses of $44,000 a year on a $150,000 income. I have around $80,000 saved up for my 401k and the company stock plan. My goal is to reach $1 million in 8 to 10 years with also a business on the side. The ultimate goal is to have more time with my daughter, family, and friends. I also include my parent into my FI number since my parent doesn't have any saving for retirement. So far, the starting of my FI journey is hard, but I am not giving up. FI is not a linear path because unexpected things in life will affect your finances and your journey to FI. But I'm determined to make this work. Thank you so much for listening.
Wow. It's hard not to have a smile when you hear the end of that, right? I mean, that's amazing. It's hard, but I'm not giving up. And she talked about even amidst, you know, obviously all these significant challenges, the ultimate goal. And right, Jonathan, it's so important to have that North Star. The ultimate goal is not to have $2 million. It's not to be rich. For Vivian and for me, the ultimate goal is more time with your family and your friends. And in her case, her daughter, right? I mean, that's why you're doing this. It might be hard, but you're not giving up because you have that North Star. And yeah, I mean, that's one of those chill inducing moments, you know?
Yeah. And she mentioned in there, you know, my goals, what were her goals? And it wasn't, as you said, it wasn't a number. And I realized even as she was saying that I've stopped checking my net worth. Like, it's a meaningless number for me at this point. Like, my goal, you know, financial independence, but really financial independence is a means to an end. The end was to have more time, more freedom, more autonomy. You know, we go through those things, identity, connection, et cetera, but just to have options in your life. It's a means to an end. To our audience, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot here that's outside of our scope. Like, personally, my scope, Brad's scope. Fortunately, we're helped by, we have some amazing subject matter experts that have already raised their hand and say, we're willing to lean in. But if you're hearing any one of these voicemails and you're like, this is my life's work, this is what I do, I want to be a part, I want to join you, I want to help our community in any way possible and see more of this information become easier to find, then just reach out to us. MK, if someone has information or a resource they'd like to pass along or something along those lines, what is the best way for them to get you that information?
Feedback@choosefi.com would be great. And just put in the subject line, Fi Households Feedback or Fi Households Tip, and I'll know that's what it is.
Awesome. And Brad, I mean, what I'm looking at here, there's some really, Vivian is going through some stuff right now, right? And it's the optimism that she has in spite of everything she's dealing with is so encouraging. And there is a lot of things to be very encouraged about. No debt, except for her mortgage. She's been contributing to the 401k. Her life really doesn't cost that much. Now, this is clearly one half. There are extreme challenges that she's going through that I to be honest, I mean, it's heavy stuff. But there's a lot of reason to say, you've got this. You're going to reach your goal.
Wholeheartedly agreed. And yeah, I mean, it sounds like she has a solid income, certainly. The expenses, though she said the expenses are unknown, right? Because of the custody battle, she has to hire a lawyer. There are things that she's going to go through, right? But it sounds as if her expenses are pretty low. So, I mean, there should be a huge savings rate built in here. One kind of, you know, side note she said was she did have a side business. And obviously we'll get Alan Donegan from the Rebel Entrepreneur podcast and a great friend of our show in here to talk to her. Maybe there are ways she can grow that side business, right? Another interesting note was that she talked about her parents being included in that FI number. And it reminded me of episode 186 of our podcast with Financial Tortoise. In that case, it was multiple generations under one roof. And Vivian didn't mention that clearly. But in many communities, and this is something that honestly, Jonathan, was just outside of our scope of knowledge. And in many cultures, this is very common to take care of your aging parents. And really, not only to take care for them health-wise, but to take care of them financially as well. So, I mean, there's a lot here, and I think a lot of people can relate to Vivian's story for sure.
All right, we've got one more today. I'm enjoying this, Brad. Are you enjoying this?
Oh, it's amazing. I can't wait.
All right, this last voicemail is from Carol. Carol is 56 with only a few hundred in her retirement account. So she needs help planning for her retirement. And I feel like what I've heard framed is Carol wants to, this isn't about retiring early. It's about achieving a successful retirement in general. So for those of you that feel like maybe you're getting a late start, but you got started, this voicemail is for you.
Hi, my name is Carol. I live in Utah and I'm 56 years old. I'm embarrassed to say that I have exactly $300 in my retirement account, about $2,400 in emergency savings, and I'm trying to figure out how to plan for my retirement. Really, my largest goal is to be able to retire without being afraid that I can't support myself. So that's just a little bit about me. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
There's so many people that find themselves here. You wake up and you realize you probably should have gotten started sooner, but you're getting started now. And so being able to look at how is Social Security going to factor into her retirement planning? What is the gap that she's going to need to come up with? How much does her life cost and what can she still do? How many prime earning years does she have left? How much runway does she have? And are there any other variables like side hustles, et cetera? What is she willing to do? How far is she willing to go for financial independence? we'll be able to track her on this journey. And I think it's going to be a form of encouragement for all of us. This may not be your day zero anymore, but how cool is it that you can go back and remember when you first got started? You can lean in with the tactics and tips that you found the most helpful, and you can be reinvigorated, re-inspired, stay inspired to stay the course, claim your freedom, claim your autonomy, claim your options.
Yeah. And Jonathan, I mean, so many people are now finding their way to ChooseFI and to the financial independence community, not for the old fire, right? Like we would hear this. This is what so many people looked at. Oh, it's about retiring early in your 30s or even 20s, right? And that's never been what we've focused on here at ChooseFI. This is about financial independence, no matter when you find it, no matter where you are in life, no matter what mistakes you've made, quote unquote. And I mean, listen, I've made so many financial mistakes.
Have you ever fixed that mortgage situation you have from that speculative property? Is that all behind you now?
It is finally at the point where it literally this month is resolving itself after 15 years. So, you know, rest assured, if somebody like me can make a catastrophic error like that, really anybody can make catastrophic errors and not, like, I'm not embarrassed about it. I made a decision that I thought was the best at the time. It wasn't. It turned out terribly poorly, but I still have reached this point of financial independence in my mid to late 30s. And it doesn't matter when you're starting. It doesn't matter if, like Carol, you're starting at 56, right, with $300 in your retirement accounts. You can make concrete changes in your life and steps to take to make your life better. That has to be the single most hopeful message you will ever hear, right? If you take action today, your life is definitely 100% going to be better than it was had you not found this. It doesn't matter if there are other people retiring at 32 or 42 or 52. It's irrelevant what other people are doing. Are you making your life better? And I'm just really thrilled, frankly, and proud of Carol that, I mean, that it's really not easy to come in front of a really enormous worldwide audience and say, I'm 56, I have $300 in my retirement accounts. But bravo, right? I mean, think about that. Bravo to Carol. And I mean, we are going to be here every step of the way. We have subject matter experts like Fritz from the Retirement Manifesto. We have Roger Whitney, the Retirement Answer Man. You and I are certainly going to help every step of the way. I mean, this makes me hopeful. I can't wait for this one.
This is not a show nor a community for perfect people. This is a community of very, very flawed people who have made pretty big financial mistakes, but are taking action because they want to create a better life for themselves and for their family and for the next generation. So if you are inspired and you're excited to follow these five households on their journey to financial independence, make sure you lock it in, press subscribe, stay with us as we get this chance to follow them and encourage them and provide information and content to help them where they want to go. Next Wednesday, we're going to be airing the additional four five households. I think you're going to get a lot of value from this. And it's just, you know, this community is getting bigger. It's a huge tent. There's people from all walks of life that are doing this, and you found the right place. If you want a better life for yourself and your family, you want information that serves you where you are, we are doing our best as a platform, as a podcast, to provide you that content. This content is a direct response to what you've asked us for. I hope you get value, and we'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth, one life hack at a time.